Please, Mr. Hunter, please. We can't do it on our own. Could you just send somebody else? Somebody better than Gallows and Anderson. You can send Natalia. Oh, marvellous. And the Alpha Academy. Brilliant, because let me just remind you, we can't do it on our own. NXT can well do it on their own. They can. They can do it on their... I'll say it again. They can do it on their own. They don't need this rub. The rub from the main roster. Because the main roster is so much better than NXT. To be fair, I don't really watch the main roster, so it might be absolutely fantastic. But NXT can do it on their own. It's just that in recent weeks, they haven't been showing that they can do it very well on their own. They still can do it. There still is a programme being produced. And there's a premium live event. Stand and deliver the premium live event. Yes, there's a peculiarly UK joke for you. And unless they did very well in the US, I don't know, or Canada or other places. Adam and the Ants, don't you know? I'm elderly, so that is why I'm doing that song. However, Stand and Deliver, your money, your... Yeah, anyway. Stand and Deliver will be around very soon. And I'm not thinking that there's much excitement for it. I mean, the main thing is Mello versus Trick, isn't it? And so they've really gone for it. And in a way, what they've done is... they've gone too far with it. So we got two promos here. The first one is Trick with his uncle in South Philly. So he's going back to his roots. Going back to his roots. Yeah. And it's all about his family, you see. All my family. I'm from the streets and all that, which is nice, you know. And then you've got Booker T and CM Punk talking about brothers. Because, you know, he and Mello were brothers. Not actual brothers, but brothers in blood. No, not that kind of brothers. Brothers in arms. Yeah, I suppose, that kind of brother. Not that brother, that brother. You got that brother? No, not that brother. The other brother. So, then we get Trick's football coach running him through his drills. Drop a gimme 20. It's so hokey. We were doing this when Ron Simmons was the WCW champion. Do you remember that? It was a long time ago, so you might not, but we're doing that then. And they're still doing it. Later on, we will have CM Punk saying that you've got to dig two graves. Why? For your career and the next one that you're fighting? Is that why you do? Oh, Trick and Mello. Oh, that's it, is it? Right. It's really overdone. And it just reeks of desperation. That Trick and Mello thing is the only one we've got. It's the only thing we've got going into Stand and Deliver. Stand, all right. Well, what about Ilya versus Tony? Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. What about Roxanne Perez versus Lyra? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see, yeah. Yeah, better do another promo for that Trick and Mello thing. I'm not really all that interested now. They've run it so... I mean, they've teased it for so long that I'm not really that bothered. Trick will get a big warm... That Trick... Uh-huh. I like it. And Mello will get a sort of boo, but we're not quite sure. We're sort of like him, so boo. We know it's not really a face turn. Boo. Anyway, that's really the main thing. It's the main thing in this episode. Although we do start with Dijak versus Sean Spears. Because... reasons. I don't know. Dijak's all over the place, isn't he? As I said the other week, he might as well just be walking down the street and say, you, I want a feud with you. Well, that'll be $2.80. Yeah! Yeah, give me that milkshake and I want a feud with you as well. In a milkshake match. Milkshake on a pole. That sort of thing. Yeah, so he's fighting the chairman, Sean Spears. Now, Sean Spears hasn't been in WWE, back in WWE for long. He's a big signing for them because he was with AEW, even though they've not poached him. he was, he asked for his, to be released, didn't he, I think. So really, it is a bit of a toss-up on this, who will win. Because you've got Dijak, who they're desperate to give something to. He is a big talent, and they've been really pushing it, which is why he's all over the place. So I'm not quite sure who will win here. And it starts really well, because Dijak's somersault over the top rope is blooming marvellous. Then there are some massive chops from Sean Spears. He then, Dijak gets on the second rope, dives off onto Spears with a kind of twisting splash, which is lovely. And then suddenly, there is a Dijak second rope superplex. No, a Sean Spears second rope superplex. I said Dijak first because he really makes the move. He's a big fella and he somersaults. I mean, he's trying so hard in this match. It's a shame he doesn't get anything out of it, really. Huge clothesline off the second rope from Dijak. But Spears comes back with a super kick. There is a fight forever chant at this point. Then Spears hits a tilt-a-whirl DDT, which is equally lovely. Dijak, though, chokeslam, feast your eyes, pin. Is Sean Spears finished already? Even Lexus King. Lexus, not Lexus. We don't want a writ. Lexus King has got longer than him. I mean, he was buried, really, in the middle of the ring. And then it gets even worse for him because halfway through the match, he goes to the apron and looks underneath the ring from the apron where he expects to find his chair. The chairman, you see? Chairman. And it's not there. And who do we see? Is it in the crowd? It is, yeah. Joe Gacy playing the chair, like, as if he's La Parker or LA Park, playing the chair like a guitar. So now Sean Spears might have a feud with Joe Gacy. My goodness, you're being buried early. Sean, you need to have a word. Have a word with Shawn Michaels. You're both called the same thing. Have a word with him, if you can find him. He's probably filed under S for Sean. Yeah. Anyway, we also will see Sean, not Shawn Michaels. You won't see him at all around NXT, will you? We don't even see Ava this week. We do see Andre Chase coming out, I presume, of her office saying, I've had a great meeting. But you don't see Ava at all. Is she already cheesed off, not turning up for work? It's going to be long hours, and you're going to have a bit of trouble. That sort of thing that William Regal didn't quite say. But there you go. Now, later on, Sean will be out in the car park with just his waistcoat on, just his waistcoat. He's got to be cold. Could be a bit parky for La Parker, who is Joe Gacy this evening, on the roof, saying, here's your chair, and throwing it at him. He's going to be in a feud with Joe Gacy. Please speak to Shawn Michaels or Ava. Please speak to them and say, I don't want a feud with Joe Gacy. I've only just got back. Anyway, the first match was all right. And Roxanne Perez is not trying hard with this heel turn. When she's doing her promo here, she cuts up superstar photos. And it's not pictures of Big John Tenta or Tugboat. Ooh, or the Alligator Man. The Alligator Man, Skinner. And Abe Knuckleball Schwartz is not even there. Or Big Bully Busick. It's current WWE superstars, because she's going to go through them all. Well, she does make a good point that since she had her change in attitude, she has got a championship match at Stand and Deliver. So that's all right, isn't it? It wasn't all that good. I mean, Roxanne Perez is trying very hard, but you've still got that situation where she was talking about not getting a shot because of Shotzi. And then Lash Legend came in to take the shot because Shotzi was injured. I've explained this before, haven't I? That Roxanne Perez should have got, but she never mentions Lash Legend. She doesn't say, and then Lash Legend ground my face into the dirt, metaphorically speaking. It might have happened off camera, I don't know. But I'm still thinking of that. But it might be a good match at Stand. It won't be that good, will it? Well, I suppose it could be quite frenetic. Maybe that's a little bit better. Anyway, Thea Hale with Duke Hudson, and he's got the trophy in hand, which is good, versus Jasmine Nix with JC Jane, because they're not friends anymore. Before we start, we've got Brinley Reese with Hank and Tank getting all excited. And then Andre saying, "Oh, my meeting went very well." With who? I don't know. I can't really say, but yes. Back in the ring, there was some Hail suplex, or a Hail hooplex. Either way is good. Some Nix kicks. Jasmine Nix is, she's not really got her own personality yet, has she? You know, she's latching onto other people and it's not really working for her. At least Brinley Reese has got a personality. It just happens to be Thea Hale's. Okay, back in the ring, we've got a headlock worked. She ties up Jasmine Nix's arms, which is quite nice. And then JC Jane takes Andre's towel. It's round his neck. It's not really big enough to be round his neck. It's kind of tied like a kerchief. A kerchief. She throws it in the ring. Riley Osborne gets halfway into the ring to get it. Because, you know, Andre's is you know, he's Alma Pater, I suppose, or whatever you call it. And he's ejected from ringside. That is the biggest thing that happens in this match. Yeah. And then you've got a Jane distraction. And then a 3-on-1. Hale wins by submission. I'm not too bothered, to be honest. Then there's a 3-on-1 with Izzy Dame and Kiana James. And then you got Fallon Henley and Kalani Jordan. And it just seems that it's a mess. It's actually an unholy mess. And you've got Thea Hale being used to facilitate other people. It's not ideal, is it? Because she don't just come back with this "I'm going to be who I used to be" thing. Okay, load of vices out. Open challenge. And here comes the saviour of NXT, Natalya. I'm not against Natalya in any way, shape or form. I just don't like these people coming from the main roster to give them legitimacy. It's all right, though, actually. They do fight, and Lola Vice has given quite a lot. She's not ready, really. She's the breakout star, of course. She won that tournament. She's not ready, really, to fight someone like Natalya, but she's given quite a lot. So, early on, Lola Vice tries to back out twice, and Natalya goes after her. There's a sweet leg lock, though, which Natalya sells really well. She's selling like crazy. Nice spinning back fist from Lola Vice. Carmen Petrovic is out to cheer on Natalya. And then you've got a spinning back fist and good counters to armbars. Spinning back fist from Natalya, I think, if I remember rightly. And Natalya gets the roll up, the sudden roll up for the pin. They were kind of exchanging counters, so it's fair enough. And it was all right, but it weren't great. Now, Ilya Dragunov is facing Stax. Why is he facing Stax? Well, because of La Famiglia, of course, but... Well, he's the champion, so why is he agreeing to a fight with Stax? First of all, before we get there, we've got Sol Ruka showing how she's been rehabbing her ACL and how much she dislikes Blair Davenport. Then Blair Davenport is saying, you know, I did for your ACL and goodbye. And it's really obvious stuff. There is nothing that makes you think this is something out of the ordinary. I need to keep watching this. I tend to think, where's my cup of tea? 2 sugars, please. In the morning, anyway, because it really gets me going, you know. A cup of tea. Well, I am I'm English. I'm British, you know. Pip, pip, toodaloo. And so I put me bowler hat on and me rolled up umbrella and go to work. So, we've got in this ring, this here ring, a Stax forearm, a short arm clothesline, a flying forearm. Dragunov runs into a boot on an H-bomb attempt, and then Stax works on the hand because he won't be able to hit Torpedo Moscow, the champ, if he's got a bad hand. And it does make Ilya look a bit weak. They surely didn't intend to do this. He is the champion who can take all sorts of punishment and come back. Here he looks like he's taken a little bit of punishment and he's done for. Such a shame. He comes back with an enziguri, of course, and a rather nasty suplex, then a release powerbomb and torpedo Moscow for the pin, or Moscow for the pin, with him. Oh, my hand, it hurts so much. Someone stomped on it. My fingers might be broken or anything. Not that he speaks like that, but that sort of thing. Where's Natalia? She's got the magic powers to make my hand better. She can do anything. I'm not against Natalia. It's just the situation. It wasn't good, this match. Well, it was okay action-wise, and I love watching Ilya. Stax is all right, but it just made Ilya look like he was taking a step down in order to be beat up. And Tony D then sends Crucifino out to him, and what he does is he gives him an invitation to dinner.
I'll make you an invitation you can't refuse.
Well, is it gold-edged?
It's got gold lamé on it.
Right, okay, it's in a black envelope and it's probably got some gold writing.
Gold writing, it's an invitation you can't refuse.
I'm doing that because that's what WWE are doing as well. La Famiglia are all eating spaghetti in a restaurant all the time with that kind of music that you'd hear in The Godfather, wouldn't you? It's passé. And Crucifino now is a delivery boy. He's not he's a consigliere, but they might be saying, "Oh, it looks a bit dusty around here. Can you get the pledge out?" That might just be a purely English thing. Just get a duster out and just go and do a. And this carpet needs a hoovering. Get the vacuum cleaner out and do that. Anyway, here are the Wolf Dogs with Corbin. I mean, Breaker's delighted that he's got a bit of a tan, and Corbin says, "You do believe that you don't believe that tanning beds are the actual sun, right?" It's really rather good. Until Gallows and Anderson turn up with their kooky humour and ruin the whole thing. For me, anyway, they just put a brake on it. It's just not right. I don't feel that it's... It doesn't work for me. But then Gallows and Anderson have never worked for me. They failed the audition. I just don't find them entertaining. I just don't find their shtick entertaining either. I didn't find those little pay-per-view things they used to do entertaining either. Now, Rich Holland is leaving. I'll give you a couple of seconds just to start having a bit of a cry, and then you can mop those. Yep, you having a bit of a cry? Yeah, mop the tears up. He's leaving. Yeah, so can you get a tear? Can you dredge a tear up from somewhere? No. No, nor me. He's going. I don't know whether he's going to come back. He probably will. He needs a repackage, whatever it is, because whatever they're doing isn't working. Now, there's a clue. Whatever they're doing isn't working. They've done a lot, and it's not working. If Dijak doesn't watch it, it'll be in Rich Holland territory. And although I like Holland, you know, with its bicycles and its rivers and canals, this Holland is another matter entirely. So he walks out and you get a thank you, Ridge chant. But actually, it's not a thank you, Ridge. It's thank you, Ridge. Thank you, Ridge. Thank you, Ridge. So he's gone. And we move on to Josh Briggs versus Duke Hudson, which is it an Oberfemi type thing, isn't it? It's a North American. Is it an elimination match? I think I probably wasn't watching last week too closely. Because why would you? I like Duke Hudson. I like Duke Hodgson and Duke Hudson as well, both of them. The Hodgson-Hudson twins. I'm not massively keen on Josh Briggs because it's not his fault, but WWE don't know what to do with him. They've got the Jensen thing going on. He's not there at all this week, is he? And Duke's got his trophy back, as I say, which is nice. It's big men fighting. Dijak's on commentary and Josh Briggs is calling him out. Well, hang on a minute. He's already had a match with Sean Spears. He's got a program coming up, or a feud coming up with Joe Gacy. Oh, that's Sean Spears, isn't it? He's done that, hasn't he? So now he needs to move on to something else because he needs two things going on. And let's just throw some more mud at the wall and see if that sticks. Okay, nice Hurricane Rana though from Duke Hudson Nice suplex too. Briggs works on the outside, gets him back in the ring, a slam and a splash. They both go well together. Superplex, and they're both hurt. Briggs got the superplex, but they are both down. Hudson then hits a big clothesline and a side slam. I like his work. It's peppy. I like that very much. And then you've got... Briggs catching... No, Hudson catching Briggs, turning it into a powerbomb. That is incredible strength. And Briggs wins with a clothesline. But it doesn't really matter, because Oberfemi comes out, and he's actually, the crowd are actually catching on to him. And he says he'll face them both at Stand and Deliver. Yeah. Stand and Deliver. We'll have a triple threat. And yeah, it's for the belt. So it didn't really matter who won, because he's... So Briggs won. Sucks to be Josh Briggs, because you've just won, I presume, a number one contenders match. And now Femi has said, never mind that. You might have fought and, you know, you might be sweaty and exhausted, but I don't really care. I'm fighting you both. They might as well have stayed home. I mean, Femi could have come out and done, I don't know, a ventriloquist act, dummy act, you know, that kind of thing. Or maybe done some magic tricks. You know, I don't know, sawn Ava in half or made sure Michael's disappeared. Oh, too late. He might as well have done that and then said, I'll be fighting both of these gentlemen at Stand and Deliver. Now, Metaphor are in the production suite, and all they tend to do these days, and it's such a shame, because Noam Dar is a talent. I'm not sure about the others, but Noam Dar is a real talent on the stick. All they seem to do is... That's all they seem to do. And that's what they do here. I don't know why they were doing it. I'm not quite sure. I wish they wouldn't. On to the main event. Wolf Dogs versus Alpha Academy. Please, Alpha Academy, come and save NXT. With Maxine Dupre, or as I put in my notes, Machine Dupre. It's a tag team qualifier. What does that mean? I can't remember what happened last week. Do they have to beat the tag team champions to get a shot at the tag team champions? Is that what they have to do? Because I don't... What? It was all right. You've got Grace, Ariana Grace, can't find a thing to where she would go out tonight, but she hasn't got a stitch to wear. Peculiarly English, that's the Smiths. Back in the ring, oh, before we get there, Ilya is interviewed. He says that La Famiglia have done their homework. That's when Crucifino comes out and says, I'm going to make you an invitation you can't refuse. We're having meatballs and spaghetti. I'm only doing that because that's what WWE do. Now, early on we've got Corbin and Tozawa, then Otis and Breaker. Crowd are into this though. Otis is really over. Hits a very bad clothesline. Then you've got Tozawa and Corbin having better work together, to be honest. He does throw Corbin over the top, Otis. And then I love the bit where Breaker throws Tozawa to Corbin for a front slam. Not a world's strongest slam, really, a front slam. I like that Otis runs over both of them with a sort of double backdrop type thing. And then there's the world's strongest slam from Otis, which is broken up by Corbin. Then he power bombs in through the announce table. Not just the ones. Oh no, you need longer than that to save the saviour from NXT, from the main roster. He's some kind of super person. And there's a Bron Breakker spear for the pin. So they didn't win, because Breakker got the pin. So they didn't win. And then you've got the LWO and Frazier and Axiom and Anderson and Gallows, and they're all fighting because that's what you want. Wrestling tropes. No, it isn't. It isn't what I want at all. I want something a bit different. And if you're looking for something a bit different, and not for very many pounds or dollars, do go to SNME Radio. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. Where you'll find great wrestling podcasts. This one's there as well. And pop culture podcasts. And if you were thinking, don't mind spending a bit of money on that, it's about $1 a week. That is beautiful work and it's great stuff. loads of it, really entertaining. Do go and fill your boots. However, this wasn't all that good, and it's been, what, 6 weeks since it was great? Well, since the last Premium Live event, actually. I worry about Stand and Deliver, because going into it, we haven't got that much that's really exciting. And that is entirely the fault of NXT. Ta-ta.